satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 355, FPDQ 2017. It's time for a furry podcast done quick. I'm Savrin4720. What's your gamer tag, Fuzz?
Oh, God. Jeez.
TwinkSpanker900.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. So we're here to save the animals and bone them. No. Anthro animals.
Yes.
So it has been a couple weeks since you recorded, and it's been actually pretty cool.
Help our underfed fox population by feeding them cubs.
Yup. So I've had a cool couple weeks. So my birthday rolls around.
So first of all, this is the first show we're recording on my patio.
Yes, we're recording on Fuzz's patio
with hookah
and my laptop. So that's cool. And you're not going to really hear the hookah as much, I don't think. And Fuzz has this really cool, like, chill. What is it called, Fuzz?
I don't know what its technical name is.
It cools the smoke.
It's a special tip that you put in a hookah that has little retrievable ice pods inside it. You throw it in the freezer, and it cools down the smoke. Gives a nice smooth smoke.
Yeah, it's nice. Smoke. So it's been a pretty cool couple weeks. For my birthday, I got a car, essentially. So we did a bunch of car shopping on my birthday. That was back in June 24th.
That's right. We haven't even talked about your new car.
Yeah. We were going to record last week, and then we decided we were just going to smoke hookah with Shiva at her place and just kind of shoot the shit.
Yeah. We didn't have any emails anyway, so it wasn't, like, a great loss. We were going to chat, which we ended up chatting anyway, so.
Just didn't record it. So if you donate $100 to the Patreon and come to North Texas, you can smoke hookah with us one night.
Don't say that. Someone will do it.
Oh, okay. Not actually applicable. Please don't do that. Don't stalk us. So, I got a new car. We did a bunch of car searching on my birthday, which kind of sucked. I did not enjoy the process of looking
until we kind of... car shopping usually blows.
We narrowed it down, though, to Audi, and we were looking for an Audi wagon. And there was both an A4 and an A6 available locally. And we checked them both out, and we ended up getting these a silver 2006 Audi A6 wagon. 3.2-liter V6, 255 horsepower on a 2-ton vehicle. Yeah. Audi is V-Dub's luxury brand. It's owned by the same company.
And Innie is their low-end brand.
Yes.
Which doesn't have as good resale value.
There is actually a low-end brand that is only sold in Europe that Volkswagen Auto Group owns. I forget what it's called, though.
Mm.
Basically,
the shit box.
I got the exact same car that Panther has, just the luxury version, basically. It's like a couple inches larger in every dimension.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just super fucking
it
nice
does
for
look like a
11-year-old
truly
car.
Impressive amount of room. Did you figure out how to fold the seats down yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's nice. You can...
Where is it just a hidden latch?
Yeah. And you can fold the seats flat.
Mine are, like, really obvious. They're little things that you pull up next to the headrest.
It's got in-dash navigation. It's got sunroof. It's got Bose surround sound audio. It sounds really good. One thing it doesn't have, though, is an aux cable. So, you know, an aux in port.
Mm-hmm.
It does have it if you have the Audi multimedia interface, like, box.
Mm-hmm.
But my car only has a 6-disc changer.
Oh.
But... A $30...
It does predate the iPhone by a model year.
Yeah.
So I imagine if it had been built when once the smartphone revolution really took off,
yeah,
come standard.
But I just went to Fry's with a friend of mine the other day and got one of those little micro FM transmitters that just takes over a band like inside the car. So I just play my iPhone that way and listen to my music on the radio that way.
Just a warning about that, because I've used one of those before I got the hookup in the back that I have now. If you're driving around the country and you get into an area where that station exists or is close to an actual FM station, you'll get interference. So on like a long road trip, I would have to change the transmitting channel.
Yeah, but I don't think I'll be taking my car on a long road trip. It's because it is big and heavy, it only gets... like 18 to 25 mpg.
Well, that's better gas mileage than I get because I'm big and heavy.
Yeah. It's super
nice, though.
My Matrix
is heavier, though, and she gets better gas mileage.
And also, Panther bought me a Kindle Voyage, which is nice. So I had a pretty sweet birthday.
Keep a close eye on the Kindle Voyage, because if you take your eye off it, it gets lost in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
You can never find it.
Then you gotta work with the...
It'll pop up again in 7 years.
Yep.
But when then it's outdated.
Yeah.
I have a Kindle Voyage. I put one on my Christmas wish list, not expecting anyone to actually buy it for me, because it was like $200 at the time, and Tieran bought it for me for Christmas. This was like, I think it was the year it came out, so maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Panther got them off
really
eBay.
Nice.
Yeah.
What I really like about them is, and as opposed to a phone or a tablet, they're frontlit instead of backlit. So you can actually read, like, late into the night, and you have that light there, but it's not straining on the eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read a lot on it yet, but it really replicates a paper look very good. And as the Kindles have advanced, their contrast has gotten a lot better. It's a lot clearer. And the page refresh rate is a lot smoother than it was on the early Kindles.
And it's also helped with just the send a Kindle. I have sent a couple project files on there so I can read off the Kindle.
That's so how I edit books.
That's going to help.
Send a Kindle is really, really cool. And you can also click that checkbox. It'll store it in your Amazon Kindle account as a document. So if you switch Kindles, or you leave your Kindle at home but you want to read, and you use the Kindle app on your phone instead, you can download whatever documents you've sent to it onto, like, your Kindle app, which is super handy.
So my birthday turned out pretty cool. I mean, it was, and like, the Steam sale's been good. I picked up some fun games for that. I've actually played a bunch of different random games this week. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is fun. I actually resurrected the Notcast Discord server.
Oh.
I'd closed it down because it'd gotten bloated and some folks that I was like, I don't want you guys around. So I nuked the server because we weren't really using it, but I resurrected it to get some folks maybe doing Warframe and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the other thing you forgot to mention about your Audi is the UI looks like Elite Dangerous.
Oh, yeah, and it has a button to start.
Yes, that's very
cool. You can totally plug the key in and start it traditionally, or you can just have the key in your pocket and just jam the button, and it's like, starts right up. It's like, I'm in the fucking future, even if the car's 11 years old.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Because, I mean, it was like a top-end luxury car back in 06, but they're generally really good, durable vehicles, so it's still in really good shape
being
11 years old.
And it's an all-wheel drive, so it handles the rain real well. We've had a lot of that last few days.
Yeah.
And it made driving in that weather not so bad.
Like, I first thought of doing this out here tonight, and Shiva couldn't join us. She's actually working on the layout for the Furry Fiesta dealer's room, not whose table goes where, but how many tables do we want to fit in the new arrangement now that she has the dimensions of what the new dealer's room is like. And that's something that she wanted to, like, crack down and get done soon, because Fiesta, I think, is typically open for dealers about July.
Yeah.
So we're right about that time frame where she'll be, like, looking into doing that. So that's why Shiva's not here tonight. And I thought, as I was about to leave work, I was like, hey, it'd be cool, since we're going to record later, because Saverin was in Fort Worth visiting his dad, I was like, it'd be nice to, like, do this on the patio with the hookah and everything. And sure enough, I went downstairs at work, and it was fucking pouring rain. I was like, well, shit, I guess we'll have to see what happens. But the rain's cleared up now. It's probably, what, like 82 degrees out here or something?
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, there's skeeters, but whatever.
Yeah, the rain's cooled things down a little bit.
She would just send her preliminary, and that's a lot of tables at Fiesta. I had to do that with the Nightmare Nights vendors selection. So this was yet another year where we had more than double the amount of applicants than we had space.
Of course.
Because, of course, I mean, we're a well-known, well-regarded convention.
That's a good sign for your con,
and
if you have people wanting to vend at it.
Dude, we have an all-star vendor hall. If you are a Pony fan and whatever, we're going to have a fantastic collection of vendors. Like, you know, you always want to say, oh, we're going to have this great amount of vendors and whatnot. But no, this year we had some of the top tier fandom artists being like, yo, I want a spot. They apply the same as everybody else, but we don't do first come, first serve. We do juried, which basically means like five of us go over the list and go yes, no, yes, yes, no, 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 yes, no.
Yeah, try to balance out.
Yeah, making sure we get
a variety of vendor types and things like that.
And you got the folks that are just like assholes that you can be like, nah. And it's just one of those things where long memories, man. It's like, oh, what? This guy's... We had somebody be like, I've applied 5 years running and haven't got in once. And I'm like, it's because your art's not improved. But we didn't say that, but it's like your art is scribbles, essentially. This is a meritocracy, not, you know, first come, first serve.
How libertarian of you.
Well, you know, we do... We're socialist in that we make sure that, you know, we have representation for as many different varieties of stuff as possible. So, like, we had one person who had purlers, and they got in because they're the only person who was doing purlers.
Right.
We had somebody...
Which is a super popular thing. Like, I really noticed that in the pony community.
Yeah.
And then I started noticing it popping up a little in the furry. Not to the same degree. I guess it's big in anime?
It's super big in anime because basically all you have to do is develop a pixel art design of a thing... And then you can replicate it really easily.
Yeah.
I mean, not, I say easily in that you still have these tiny little grids and these tiny little beads. You have to place them one by one by one.
Yeah.
You can't mass produce them, but you're still going off a template.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I need X color, a Y color, and Z color, and you're good to go. So, I mean, we have just a fantastic array, and I'm looking forward to doing that announcement and a couple other announcements.
Cool.
So, I mean, that's exciting. All things considered, it's been a pretty decent couple weeks.
I meant to ask you, actually, and you can edit this part out if it's something that's not, like, public yet, but I went to the Nightmare Nights website, and I went to the Guests of Honor page, and there's already, like three people on there. And is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So,
because, like, Andrea Lipman is on there, too.
We have our full array of guests. Basically, with us, we don't keep it super secret because we do our flyers so early. Nail down our guests in, like, February and get our major flyer push done, like, in early June. And when you're doing a flyer push of literally 15,000 flyers this year, you need to have a full-ass flyer. So, basically, if you've seen our flyer for this year, you have... all of the guests except for two, only because one of the guests, well, they both haven't signed contracts yet, and one of them was a replacement. Like, the one person we wanted to get was unavailable, and so we're like, but this other person had been like, yo, I totally dig coming to your con, I've heard super great things, and I'm like, how convenient. So,
and I saw Mitch Larson is returning for, he's been there four of the five years. Was he not here last year?
He had to miss due to something, 1 year, but he's a good guest, he's sociable, he's inexpensive, and he's just a good guy.
Likeable guy.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, you want people who will interact with the fans, who don't think themselves super above it, don't want divas, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's worked out so far so good.
Good.
I even got to... meet up with a friend of mine. One of my old Bronyville co-hosts was in town for a friend's wedding, and we got to hang out on Tuesday?
AC or
no, it was Wednesday. Alpha.
That's right, yeah.
And basically, we got to hang out and see some of the area that he had. I mean, and see some of the area, like, he wanted Fuzzy's Tacos, he wanted to check out Grapevine Mills, and he wanted to go to Fry's. Because he lives up in Pennsylvania.
They don't have
and
fries.
And they don't have fries, they don't have Fuzzies.
Mm.
But he's had Fuzzies before when he's been down here for the con.
They didn't have fries when I lived in Florida. And when I came out to Texas a couple of times before I moved here just visiting friends, like my friend Darius was like, you've got to see this fucking place. It's like the Walmart of electronic stores. It's got everything. And, you know, there's... the famous, like, Fry's return policy, because it is the Walmart of electronics.
Yeah.
People are like, you'll get something, it'll be a really good price, it may or may not be the best, so you might have to return it. But there's all good shit, too.
Yeah. Well, it's like, we actually spent a good while walking around trying to find the damn FM transmitter thing. Like, we had to go through, like, all the audio aisles until it was like, oh, go to one of the car audio things next to the car speakers, and that's
those are here in our 2006 section, as everyone uses Bluetooth and box cables now.
Well, like, they have tape deck adapters, and obviously my car doesn't have a tape deck, but, like,
It has an 8-track deck. That would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, really bringing it back.
Did your conversion van have an 8-track deck?
No, it had a tape deck, though. I will say, though, my car is on the cusp of the future in that it has an OS, but the OS isn't upgradable over the air.
Which is good.
Which is good, because that way you can't brick it with an interrupted internet connection.
It's bad enough bricking your phone, but like, you don't want to brick your fucking car.
You literally have to get it like towed to the dealership, and they have to reset your car.
Yeah.
That's just fucking wild.
So I follow the Internet of Shit Twitter account, so I'm really wary of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, internet light bulbs, internet dildos, internet shit.
Like, internet dildo can be kind of fun. Like, I tried that with a friend once. I gave somebody a couple of buzzes over the net, and they tweeted the link, and their fucking dildo went down and drained the battery.
It's just constantly, oh my god, this was a terrible idea. My ass is numb.
But,
or vagina. Cannot assume.
You know, like, yeah, internet light bulbs, internet locks on your door. I mean,
internet doorbells.
Internet refrigerators. You know, somebody took a photo of the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, and it was like, this machine is updating. And it was like, can't get drink because soda machine is updating.
It's like, can't drive my car, system is updating.
Yeah, can't turn on my lights because something happened. Or, yeah.
I mean,
can't connect to
the Leaf, the internet connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such. We have all this cool ass technology, but we don't have a way of securing it really yet.
That's the problem, is that, like, All these companies are throwing out all of this stuff, like, everything in your house will have a fucking IP address. And it's like, yeah, I don't know how good the light bulbs are or not, but I'm just throwing out as an example, like, yeah, we're a light bulb company, so we're gonna do internet light bulbs, but they're not experts in internet security, and a lot of companies don't have the resources or don't want to spend the money on their IT department, and so they end up like, oh, here's this easily hackable thing. Fucking baby monitors had that problem for a long time, too.
Oh, God, well, okay, so here's an example, right, of the internet of shit.
Yeah.
Remember a couple years ago, or maybe a year ago, where there was these teddy bears that had, like, you could send a message via computer, whatever, and it would play a message over. And it would, like, take photos of the kid and store messages back and forth.
Oh, God.
Their server got hacked. And thousands, like, hundreds of thousands of messages and photos of kids and all this stuff got leaked to the net because they didn't secure their goddamn IP teddy bears.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was real bad.
You know, and
I mean, like, there's nothing really terribly actionable with the data. I mean, you can be like, oh, I got a photo of your kid. You know, maybe. I mean, that's
I
bad.
I don't know.
That could be
for
bad.
the pedophiles, like, you know, even clothed or partially clothed little kids running around and stuff like that. You don't want photos like that getting out there.
And that's understandable, but
and you know, kids are probably prone to like just taking their clothes off and running around.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was bad. And then there was the literal internet of shit? Where it was like there's an IP internet connected toilet that's like supposed to analyze your poop.
That's right. Like, we'll send your phone app data about your bowel movements.
You did a good shit. A plus. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're a Twitter shitter. Achievement unlocked.
Oh, look, I've got a notification. Whatever you ate last night, don't eat it again. Oh, okay.
It's like, we are sorry. It looks like your anus has exploded. Would you like us to call the 911?
My app is making judgment calls on my dinner of 12 chalupas.
Oh, man. It kind of sucks because it's like, oh, hey, how was Anthrocon? Neither one of us went.
Well, so I was going to talk about that a little bit through the through what I know, basically, from a business standpoint. So, basically, Fur Planet did about what we did last year, maybe a little more, but not by much. And if you look at the attendance growth, they did not have a really big growth curve this year. The con grew by like 300-400 people, something like that. So the store's performance as far as that goes is perfectly fine. I'm really happy with how we did. We haven't done post-con inventory yet. I know some stuff sold out. We sold out of a bunch of cat-ass stuff. We sold out of the new Cheetah Paws art book, which nice. I'm not at all surprised that sold out.
Yeah, well, I saw Cat App tweeting that like he was down to like single digits and maybe down to one each of a couple of his things.
There's some stuff he doesn't have a copy for himself right now that I'm going to have some specially printed up and sent to him from the printer. So that he has a copy.
Yeah, it's like, I made this really great book that sold really well. Shame I don't have a copy.
Yeah, and like, I can totally understand, you know, a creator would want like at least one nice copy of all the stuff that they've put out. But yeah, all those, the Cat Ath hardcover that I showed you, Protocon, those all sold.
Not a big surprise.
No,
it was... I did put it out there saying it was some good shit.
That's right, yeah. Your tweet is entirely responsible
I'm happy
for all
to help.
Those sales.
Feel free to cut me a
cut you a check. Yeah, but like we sold out of a lot of our hardcovers. Actually, we brought. I had just restocked on Boys Town, and I'm out of stock again.
Again,
I kept
not
two
a big surprise.
Home for folks that were waiting on them to come in for their orders, and I shipped those out. But all the rest went to AC, and I shut it off. Online before the con, because
so
I was like,
any...
some of this shit is not coming back. So, distributor stuff like that I can't, that I don't just order from my own printer, you know. So I'll email Anta and be like, need another case of Boys Town. Sold out at Anthrocon.
Ship that shit, yo.
Yep.
But it seems like most everybody had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't see a lot of issues. Coming up on Twitter this year, I saw a lot. I saw quite a few people say this is the best Anthrocon ever. I don't know if that was purely on a personal level or if the con just had more extra shit than they'd had before or whatever, but I saw several people, even in my small circle, be like, this was the best AC ever. Apparently the writing track was really strong this year. Like a lot of the writers went, because I've seen conversations on Twitter and in the writing Slack group, about, you know, how the panels all went really well. Some of them were recorded, and actually, put out there on YouTube. So I might check out
That's
a couple
cool.
of those. Yeah.
I mean, when...
And Dick Tirin was on one or two panels as well. He was on one called Submit and Publish, I believe. I think he was on there with Dark End, who does all the slush reading for Heat and Hot Dish. And that might have been... Oh, and Slip Wolf was on that panel as well. So apparently that one went well. He might have done, like, I don't know if he did like an adult writing or a fetish panel this year or not, but...
You can always ask, but
yeah.
It seems like it went real well and people had fun, which is the point.
Yep.
I mean, the city of Pittsburgh is like, yo, you're the Anthrocon isn't like the biggest thing that they have going this year.
So I have not read it yet, but as some folks probably know, Boozy Badger went to Anthrocon this year, and he took one of his other lawyer friends with him. Who is now asking him if he's going to Midwest Fur Fest. So now his Boozy's friend is like,
yo,
I had a blast today. See, are you doing MFF?
I'm going to go hang with the animal people.
Yeah. But Boozy has posted a three-part long article, three separate posts on his blog, which I haven't had a chance to read yet. But it's and I skimmed some of it, and it all looked very positive. So
good.
I mean, and I heard his one of the other furry podcasts I listen to is called For What It's Worth. We've mentioned him on the show before. They actually had Boozy on there. And I recommend giving it a listen. It was a really neat interview. And Boozy, this was between Furthermore and Anthrocon.
Yeah.
So he basically talks about having been to Furthermore, his first FurCon, and what it was like, and, you know, what he thinks of the community and stuff like that, which is all very positive.
That's good.
That was really good.
The kind of positive media we need.
Yeah, I was very happy.
Can always use.
And, you know, AC raised a boatload of money for the local charity, which I think was some kind of Pittsburgh area animal rescue. I'm not sure exactly who they had this year. They're one of the cons that has a different charity every year. So they take the spread the wealth
approach.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's good.
Yeah. We got to see it through Twitter, but not really ourselves. Alas.
But we do have what looks like at least two or three email con reports. So we'll be reading those in a little bit.
I don't really have a ton more to talk about. We've got SGDQ is going on. I've been watching a bunch of that.
So what is that? SD?
SGDQ. Summer Games Done Quick. It's a speedrunning marathon.
Okay, so this is an offshoot of Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yes, it's the summer edition.
Okay.
And it's 7 days of speedrunning and charity shit. Like,
the dude I know that does Awesome Games Done Quick is probably in that.
Yeah.
Brescentia. Have you seen his name pop up?
Maybe. I just catch it because, it's going 24 hours and I've been, watching it and having it silent. Or I had a moment the other day, I'd taken Adam out for his walk.
Yeah.
And took him on a long walk and came back in and I heard voices in my house and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, you
forgetting that I had left Twitch on. And it was streaming SGDQ.
This is like when, what's the Loading Ready Run does the Desert Plus for Hope.
Yeah.
Tieran will just leave that streaming all the time while they're doing it on multiple devices. So he'll leave it streaming on his main desktop where he is most of the day and he works right there. But then he'll have it streaming from his phone, when he's taking a shower or walking around the kitchen or something like that.
Because it's more about the banter than the gameplay for that specifically.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's absolutely. But,
man, I have to say that... So we looked this up before we started. So some of these $50, $60 NES games, right? Like the arcade port of the game Jackal. It was an arcade game that was six stages long, and they just more or less straight up ported it to the NES. This game was $50, which in modern dollars is $105, and a dude beat it in 10 minutes.
God damn. What are games average price-wise these days?
They're about $60.
I remember them being about $60 back in the 90s. Yeah.
And back also, there were games that were more expensive because they required various chipsets. Earthbound, if I recall.
Zelda cost more initially because it was the first game in that gold cart that you could actually save your progress. It had an additional chip for that.
It had a battery backup, which made it more expensive.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. Because, again, these games... I think Super Street Fighter 2 for the NES was an $80 game. So too was Donkey Kong Country because they had the on-cartridge chipsets.
I remember Donkey Kong Country. I owned that game back when I had a Super NES. And I think I was on Super NES, right? Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember playing that and it being a big deal at the time because it had really amazing graphics for the time. It was the first game to do certain things or something like that.
So, okay. In 1986, The Legend of Zelda was released with a retail price of $50 plus tax, or $53.49 in Kansas City. To adjust that for inflation, the game would have to sell for $110 after tax today. And this is from an article written in 2012.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm going to look up most expensive SNES games, because it's really interesting, because we have we're I mean, yeah, we got companies that are DLCing out the butt, and there are games with really bad free-to-play models, but we have to remember that we're actually getting a lot more for our gaming dollar nowadays than ever before.
Yeah, because, like, the tech has changed so much, and, like, I mean, the cartridges, quote-unquote, that they use today are probably a lot less expensive to manufacture than the ones back in the day. I say cartridges because the new Nintendo is back to cartridges again.
Yeah, but they're SDHC cards.
Yeah,
so they can have like 64, 128 gigs on them easy.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, they make SDHC that goes up to 256 now.
Nice, but of course, searching for most expensive SNES cartridges only brings up the currently most expensive.
On
like
eBay.
A mint in box Mega Man X2 for Super NES from 1996 is only $2,400.
Good God.
1994 competition cartridge Donkey Kong, $3,300.
Now, I know the ones I saw that were listed as the most expensive ever were this, like, these three cartridges that they made that had multiple games on them, and they would take them to, like, official competitions and stuff like that, and they were... They weren't like, they didn't have the traditional label on it. It was like branded a different way. And it was basically never really supposed to, like, I guess, see the public light of day. And apparently one of them went missing and I don't know where it is, but the other two are in the hands of collectors and they went for quite a bit of money. I bet you Sparf could tell
us definitely.
About that.
But again, it's like these games that were $50-$60 originally getting beaten in 10 minutes. And like, goddamn, I bet parents must have been pissed off then. Like, I don't recall ever having any NES games that I could beat.
Remember, back in the day, though, when we were kids, we didn't have, like, the special wrist implants to make our hands faster, you know, and the additional fiber optic connections between our optic nerve and our fingertips.
Yeah, I mean...
So improved hand-eye coordination. So no wonder people today can beat them in 10 minutes. But that would have taken me, like...
I don't know, like a year.
No, like 11 minutes.
Like, I could consistently beat games like Monster Party, but I didn't have very many games that I could consistently beat on my NES.
I'm not sure I've ever actually beaten a game. Because I never really played them that much. I played them until they stopped being fun. And when I hit the point where I just kept dying over and over...
You'd be like, that's enough.
Yeah, that's basically... What I was like was when I was playing video games when I was in my early 20s. Just, I was not committed to the whole gaming thing, really.
Well, and what's interesting is, like, there's more modern games that can still be beaten in, like, 40 minutes. But then you've got, like, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, which its speed run is still nearly 4 hours. Or Final Fantasy VI for the SNES, its speedrun is 6.5 hours.
And all these new games have, like, the side quests and shit that you can explore the world and stuff.
So
I didn't really have the memory space for that kind of thing back in the day.
It's just cool to see these games busted wide open, and it's fun. Because the guys, like, I saw this guy do the Doom speedrun, and he broke that game wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said, because there's various categories you run in. There's any percent, which means fastest, or in this particular case, the guy was getting every secret in the game.
Mm.
And he still managed to get every secret in the game and beat the game through some really clever, like, wall jumping and shit.
This is kind of like getting, like, every single coin in a Mario game or something. Like, you could beat it a lot faster. But
this guy was just like, boom, I'm getting all the secrets. That memories were all there. And these people for SGDQ... And AGDQ, they practice for months, and they have to, like, compete with other people to get their slot.
So what's the prize in this? Is there one?
There's not really a prize. It's all done for charity.
Oh, okay.
This year...
So do you donate to the players that you like or something?
Yeah, you donate towards, like, incentives. So that is either putting special challenges or naming the file name for the save game or something silly like that.
Yeah.
There is one that the guy from the Night in the Woods, he happened to see in when someone's like, that showed one of the like competitions for a save file, and one of the save file names that was in the running was Greg Rules, okay? And he was like, oh my god, this is so cool! Because apparently he's big into it. I think that's really cool.
That is. One thing Tieran wanted to do one year was send a big donation to Desert Quest for Hope, and it would be that he would mail them Fez, and the stipulation was Fez basically just had to be in the room on camera somewhere. And he decided not to do it because we're sort of like, do we really want to mail our badger to... And he goes, like, they're up in Canada?
Yeah.
Like, do we want to mail our badger to Canada and back? I mean, we trust these guys, but, like, you know, Postal Service going back and forth or whatever, yeah. You know.
And gonna, we really like our badger. Are they going to cut him open and be like, is he smuggling cocaine inside his badger?
Yeah, right, yeah.
No.
So, yeah. We
had a replacement Fez. Fez's clone.
We do actually have clone bodies in storage. I know I've talked about this on the show before. Because one day, those particular plushies will get old and beat up, and they'll probably just fall apart. And at that point, we will download their personalities into the new sealed clone bodies.
Yeah.
And then we will have new Fez and Rory, and then we will store the originals.
So. Nice.
We had, I don't know if I did tell you that, we had Gwaelin come over. He and Max came over, and he had one of those sealing things for food, you know? Uh-huh. Like, you can fucking, like, vacuum seal. Like, vacuum seal, like a bag of broccoli, and put it in the freezer for 100 years or whatever.
So you vacuum sealed the backups?
I need to show you them. Yeah, we have a vacuum sealed Fez and Rory backup.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, for a while there, they were sitting in a position that Tieran left his closet door open. You could see them.
In carbonite.
And I was like, that's a little creepy.
it's like the clones from...
Whalen got a kick out of it. And I was like, is this really weird? I was asking you to do this. He's like, yeah, but it's awesome. I wanted to use this thing.
Nice. It's the, you know, it's like the Venture Bro, the clones of the twins. Oh, looks like we're going to need a new one.
And then the ones that are not quite ready, and they're like, So I want to talk publishing news that just happened, which I could talk about now, because the contract's signed.
Yay!
So, you know, for Planet, we also have our, like, mainstream imprint that I haven't done a lot with, but we're just kind of getting it. We're gearing it up.
Getting it out there.
I'm gearing it up this year to be, like... something that I expand out beyond the solely furry. Summerhill was published under the Argyle Productions imprint a few years ago. And this year we've done Kismet in January and by Watts Martin, and The Tower and the Fox by Tim Sussman just came out at Anthrocon.
Nice.
So have you heard of Ursula Vernon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Ursula, in addition to writing children's books, also writes books for grown-ups under the name T. Kingfisher.
Okay.
And she's had a bunch of these up on the Kindle store, but she doesn't have print versions.
She will now.
So we've made an agreement with Ursula that we're doing the print editions of her T. Kingfisher series. And these are all novellas and collections, anthology collections, including one of them includes Jackalope Wives, which was like a Nebula winning story. Nice. It was originally on one of the big sci-fi magazines. I remember it was like Apex or Lightspeed, but it was one of those. So I'm like really excited about this because like Tieran had been listening to the audio book versions of some of her stuff. I've been reading a couple of hers on my Kindle. I listened to one on audio also, and you know, now we're going to be doing the print versions. We're going to be doing that under the mainstream one. They're like, a lot of them are like retellings of fairy tales, but like written, you know, with the modern sensibility.
That's cool.
Stuff like that. Like, it's really good shit. So I'm like super excited about this. I'm probably going to be laying out the first one this weekend. So we already put that out on Twitter. And that'll be coming soon. We'll be selling those through Amazon as well. So I'm really excited about this. It's like, yay! It's a big deal for me. So that's my big publishing news right now. That on top of the 29 titles that we just released in Anthrocon. I also have another comic that will be putting out soon. I've already got it all done and everything. It's called Tidal Wave. Have you seen it on FA? It's by the same artist that did Cinderfrost. And it's like this African wild dog character. Like, they're these two best friends, a guy and a girl. And, like, the girl has always kind of had a crush. They've always had a crush on each other, but never really been brave enough to do anything. And the girl is just like, okay, fuck this. I'm going to do something. So, you know, she pops off her her bikini top and is like, I've got to put suntan lotion on my nipples because I wouldn't want them to get burned. And she's bumping up against the guy. He's got a raging boner in his swim trunks. He's like, do you want, you should free yourself up a little too. And of course it leads to
the fucking
explosions of cum everywhere. She's been running it on her Patreon and then posting it to FA shortly after that. So we've got the print edition of that. So I'll be releasing that on the store sometime soon. Probably after we catch up with all the Anthrocon pre-orders. All the other
stuff you got to worry about.
Yeah, we got a lot of pre-orders for all of our new shit for Macy. So we'll have to restock and get those out too. So yeah, and I also need to make ebook versions of the new prose works to release on Bad Dog Books. And yeah, I'm going to be busy for a while, which I guess is fine because I'm not doing a con until Method. So are you doing are you going to do Method again? Or you haven't gone in a while because you've been doing the anime cons for
That's the same weekend as like Anime Fest, but yeah. I have like flyer distribution deal already in place, so I don't need to go there. Mm-hmm. Like, in theory, I could totally go.
Yeah.
And just go to a con that I haven't been, don't have to work, don't necessarily have to do much beyond if I assist at a table or whatever.
Yeah. And last year, Ajax came with me. Yeah. You'd probably have to take your own vehicle, though, because I think Ajax will be able to come with me again. So that'll be, and you know, my car only holds two people when the third person is for Planet, and that takes up a lot of room.
See if Panther wants to come.
Yeah.
Like, he's still... So, we used to go to MFM all the damn time,
mm-hmm.
and
thank
you had a Skeeter on your finger. I'm getting chewed up out here, so let's speed run this.
Yeah.
But he still sleeps, like, his sleep shirts are MFM shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they're like a decade old at this point, pretty gross, so he needs some new ones.
Their newer shirts are really nice, too.
Yeah, no, they just need to get some of their old shirts for cheap.
Right.
Like the black and white ones. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're selling these off for $5 a piece? Cool. Give me like 10.
Yeah.
Like, now.
Actually, the last time I was there, they had a table of all their old shirts that I think they were just giving away. And they were like, you could donate to the charity if you wanted. But it was just sort of like, grab those shirts, you know?
Because, yeah, like, I would like to burn some of his sleep shirts. Because they're kind of, gross.
Kind of grody to the max?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, this shirt weighs 3 times its original weight, just by the accumulated time of body oils.
I mean, you wash them.
Right? Yeah, I wash the shit out of them, but he's had them for a decade, and they're... Anyways, so...
The nice thing about them being black and white is you could bleach the fuck out of them, and it won't make a difference.
Yeah. So, let us go ahead and,
hit the emails
here. Hit the emails, because we are coming up on 45 minutes. So, we got 4 emails.
Okay.
So we're going to hit this first one. Let's see, does he have a name at the bottom? Argus. Alright. So, Anthrocon Con Report. Hey, Knotcasters, your friendly neighborhood Griffin Argus is here to tell you about a very special weekend, Anthrocon 2017. It was not only my first time at AC, but my first time spending a whole weekend at a furry con. I also got to debut my new fursuit thanks to OMG Pineapples. My first time suiting was a blast, and I feel like I couldn't have had a better time first time than in Pittsburgh. The residents are a charm, and they seem genuinely interested and happy that we are there. I got asked for photos by random families enjoying their night while I was on my way to where I would park multiple blocks away. The bridge across the third floor that looked into the dealer's den was awesome, and the view over the river was gorgeous. It was said to rain, but it didn't until late night or early morning, so not much was ruined, and our days went on happily without disturbance. I picked up some lovely books, including Kyle Gold's new novel, The Tower and the Fox, and shall read it on my plane ride back to Central Cali. I met so many great people and some awesome friends for the first time. They had a game of Joust going all weekend near the gaming hall, and I decided to join in during my final day while in fursuit. It was really fun, and someone came up to me and covered me a piece of paper with a drawing of me on it, maybe? She said that she really loved my character and couldn't help but draw him. I teared up and did my best to keep my composure, but this was the nicest thing someone has done for me, and it made the con so much more special.
Aww.
If Fanthecon is like this every year, sign me the fluff up for the next one because I had a blast. Sorry if this wasn't the best report, but I'll try to improve it for TFF when I go this coming year. Love, Argus.
Yay.
Let's see. Joust is a game played... There's a little asterisk here. Joust is a game played with Sony PlayStation 3 Move controllers where you and up to five other people have to keep theirs as steady as possible while trying to get another player to shake their controller enough to register that they are out. Last man standing wins, physical contact is allowed and needed to a reasonable extent. They included some photos of them in their griffin suit.
Cool.
Yay!
Let me just tap this coal here and then I'll... I know.
Yeah.
Those coals are mostly ash, that's why...
Yeah, they just fell to pieces.
Not much happening here. Okay.
It's all good.
All right.
So this next one is from Anonymous.
Okay. Ah. Sorry, dude.
Oh, just a mosquito, like, landed right near my eye.
Ooh.
Trying to suck the eyeball juice out of me. Ah! You can't suck my precious bodily fluids more than you already have, you fuckers.
Okay. Check-in report. Also, non-furry con reports? Question mark. Read as Anonymous. Okay. Hello, Notcast crew. I will try to use my L-block translator, but my grammar and spelling can be just as bad as a chat cat who overdone it with the catnip. On that note, for my vote on the never-ending battle for sexiest voice vote goes to Shiva. It's been a long time since I wrote in, but like you always tell people, I've been getting my shit together and sometimes just trying to keep it all in one place. This year been crazy good and crazy bad. So much has happened, but let's not get into that. I have a longish and multi-topic email for you. I see why you wanted me to take this one up. So feel free to split it up or skip over parts that just don't go anywhere. But I'll try to cut to the chase and shorten things down as best I can. You seem to like shorter to the point email better, but I like to ramble. In the nine mouths between when I have found you all and now, I have listened to a good backlog of your podcast. Back when Shiva started on the regular... Man, that was a lot and took some time, but even for someone who IDs as a straight male, your advice has been even good for me. I'm not as young as it seems as a lot of your writers, but still good advice is good advice, so keep up the work and keep helping people, so thanks. I have not yet nailed any fursona idea for myself, but one of the more strange ideas I keep coming up with is a moth. Then Bill Bailey's Insect Nation will play in my head. But yeah, insect bug type fursonas, don't see them that much. Talk about them that they should eat up some airtime. Okay. I don't know for me, I still just enjoy the art and smut, so having a fursona high on my list. You know what would be good? Some tips on flirting. Let's face it, some of us can be as awkward as a fart in an elevator, or as dense as a bag of bricks, not seeing the forest for the trees. So let's hit all the angles. How guys can flirt with girls, girls flirt with guys, how guys and guys give hints, and how girls and girls do this. Let's just go through the whole rainbow spectrum if you think you're up for it. At least where you can help. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will appreciate it. Do you want to do that first, or do you want me to keep reading?
Go ahead and finish it up, unless okay. It's...
Saverin, it's kind of hard to tell over the many podcasts, so in a nutshell, how was your surgery for your weight loss have gone? I know some people have had similar operations and it's worked well. Kind of want to know the results. What was your weight back then and what it is now, if you don't mind?
So my weight at my heaviest was around 428 pounds, and my weight right now is around 245. So, I'm back to losing, yay.
What's that, like 180 pounds?
Yeah, and basically I had gastric sleeve. It's sort of the middle pass between like getting the band and the gastric bypass. It's removal of a good chunk of your stomach and basically forces you that you can only eat so much. Or you throw up, and it'll do a lot of that.
Hmm.
But basically it is a way of forcing you to eat less on a permanent basis. And it has worked out very well for me, because I was super disciplined in the fact that also I was fairly convinced that I would not make it to 35 if I didn't get my shit together. I had this photo of me at my 30th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Japanese Gardens in Fort Worth, and I looked disgusting, in my opinion. And that was, I had my weight loss surgery, actually I think I had my weight loss surgery almost... 4 years ago, actually.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, because it was in, well, it was in July after my birthday of my 30th year, and I'm 34 now, and it is July 6th or so?
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, I think I'm coming up on my 4 year anniversary of that.
It is indeed July the 6th.
Yep. So, it's worked out very well for me, and having a supportive partner certainly helps with that.
So, I happened to be looking through some old photos the other day, because, like, I put a bunch, put a bunch of pictures on my phone at the room, and I found a New Year party at my old apartment. What year did your sister turn 21? Because it was that year. It was the first time that she, first New Year party she hung out, which she was, like, really worried about being around all the all of your weirdo friends and everything.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. So this was back then. And I swear, everybody in the picture was lighter, except for you. You're the only one that's gotten lighter in the intervening 9 years or however long it's been. But yeah, it was really interesting seeing it. I was like, oh my God, look at us all. I need to get back to that. I'm going to give you some of my weight so you can,
no thanks.
You can be the man you used to be, because now you're only half the man you were.
no thanks.
So basically a resounding success is your weight loss surgery
and
story.
Actually, I've helped inspire a couple other people to get it done as well, and they've done well. My pal Scope went from being about 550 to about 265, 280.
Like, wow, that's, what, 300 pounds?
Yeah, he was big.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he had the gastric, he had the bypass.
Yeah.
So he
I guess when you get to a certain size.
Yeah, past,
like,
a certain point, they're like, look, we're going to do this, you're going to fucking die anyway. So he's like, all right. And he's doing all right.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, God, if there was photos of me at, like, BronyCon 2012, and whew, just saying, I was,
Hey, you have some good before photos.
Yes, I have plenty of good before photos, and then, you know,
and
all my afters.
Don't hate those pictures, because you can
look at them. No, I still have them around. I still have some of my, I have a pair of shorts and a shirt or two from back then, and yeah, it's,
because it's a good measure of your progress. If you're ever feeling down about yourself, you can look back at, you know, your massive shorts from back then and be like, yeah, I could fit like three of me in this now.
Yep.
And,
you know, I could put both my legs in this one leg hole. Because, yeah, when right near my peak, I was literally at the upper cusp of what they sold at, like, Big and Tall stores.
Mm.
Size fucking 60. So, anyways, I don't have to worry about that now. It's good.
I think they go to 70.
Well, the Foundry, which was the Big and Tall brand owned by JCPenney's,
before
they closed all their stores,
right?
Their biggest was 60. But
I'm trying to equate Foundry with being fat. Like, what are the?
I don't even know, dude. It was just like how do you fit Torrid with being fat? That's just, it's Hot Topics. It's literally Hot Topics Big and Tall brand,
right?
It's
for
women, and
which is probably like, knowing, seeing the clothing in Hot Topic, their Big and Tall brand is probably like the size of an average person.
Yeah.
Because no average person can wear their shirts in Hot Topic. And, I mean, I was looking at, like, an XL in there once, and I was like, if I lost every ounce of fat on my body, one, I'd be dead, because that's not good. And two, there's still no way I could have worn that shirt. Like, my bones are bigger than this t-shirt. They're made for tiny
Twinks.
Little goths. Yeah.
They're made for teenagers, of which we are not.
Oh, right. Is that what it... Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's still more to this email.
There is. Con Reports, the non-furry edition, which is fine. I'm always curious about how the other half lives. I love conventions. Maybe one day I'll make it to a furry one, but time, most of all, is keeping me from that. But every con I go to, I find furries. The easiest to spot is the suitors. Yeah, I know they sometimes bug the cast, but mostly just me. But most of all, I meet are great. Always fun to get a pic of them and see. So to all furries keep popping up, I always love seeing it. Just listen to the cast, there a time and a place. But cons are one of them, and artist alleys, I guess, is good to see the furry and almost always the cute and sexy, and sometimes I don't see them enough. My cons have been crazy this year. We have been batting 0-2 with good weather for cons. The first one is ZumiCon, which I meet one of the staff who was an older guy, and he wore a cool Nightmare Moon sweater vest, and we somehow got on topic of Nightmare Nights. You may know, maybe not. Back on topic, where the snow and ice storm tried to cover it up at Super BitCon Retro Gaming Con, that's super cool even when a tornado tried to take the building out before the con started. It killed power for most of the first day, and they had to pick up a few things that got knocked down. But Oklahoma, right? The state just wants people gone. Yeah, it's Tornado Alley. But I still enjoyed them both. I mostly run around with a camera and try to get as many pictures as possible of cosplays, or just fun groups in general. I hope the bad weather won't kill these cons. I can see where it could kill your bottom line or put too much stress on the staff to keep it up next year, but we'll see. I highly suggest Super BitCon to anyone into retro gaming. So much old school cool packed in a small place. That con is growing so fast to it out, if that your thing. I'm having trouble parsing.
So check it out if that's your thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Missing word. Oh, I see. I missed the word. As a side note, there were these two super cool elaborate bird fur suits. They were super nice, so whoever put that off, that was super awesome. But in the meantime, I will pray to the convention god in my head, maybe a chakad, I blame Shiva, that my favorite con, TNT, Tokyo and Tulsa, one guess what and where that con is.
I wondered what it's about.
Will not have bad weather problems. It's super fun and started to get really, really big. It's anime focused, but the twice with this con is to do their best to invite a band from overseas to come over and play in the States. For many of them, it's their first U.S. show. For me, I don't go to the con for the music, but it's still fun, and I love to read the before and after blogs and interviews for the guests we have. Most of them seem to really enjoy their trip here. I really enjoy that, too, when you see a guest tweeting or blogging about how much they enjoyed their time at whatever con. I just keep rambling, so I'll stop and try to get this grammar and spelling into shape, which may be a lost cause. I'm just glad my soon-to-be future work just requires me to be good at numbers, which I'm so much better at. Good luck to the cast. I'll hope to buy you all a drink one day. Cheers, Anonymous. So, you want to circle back to the flirting thing?
As to the flirting thing, I mean, it really kind of helps to either be forthright or not go for it. Because, I mean, if mm-hmm. you think you're being subtle and they don't get the hint, you get the whole, I'm being a nice guy, why am I not getting good boy points?
But at the same time, you also don't want to be like, hey, baby, let's cut to the chase. You want it, I want it, yeah. Let's
you go to my room. The D, I got the D, yeah.
Let's go to my room. You don't want to be too crass either.
I mean, God, I'm not even sure how you would want to go about that, because you don't want to come off as being a creep.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this era of internet, mm-hmm. there's really not, you're not just going to randomly go up to somebody and start flirting, most likely. You're going to have talked to them online, and this is in a purely geek space context.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to a furry con, and you're going to meet up with somebody RL, you might have talked to them a little bit online, might know what they look like, have a bit of a feeling, and you see where it's going to go from there.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, obviously, don't go picking up people in bars. That's a bad time waiting to happen, probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember one guy flirting with me at Nightmare Nights, actually. Because Nightmare Nights, I mean, probably has a sizable furry crossover, you know. Because here in town, a lot of locals and stuff like that. And we were all talking. I was talking to like a couple members of your staff. And there was this cute guy there. And we were talking about how we were furries. And we were all saying what we were, and I was like, I'm a wolf. And this guy goes, ooh, I like wolves. And then he came over and hugged me, and I was like, that's flirting. Even I picked that up.
Also, bad touch.
No, he was cute. It was okay.
Okay, good.
And I didn't mind. But yeah, that's another thing, is sort of being like sort of socially aware of, you know, does the person look like, you know, they'd be open for a hug? Or, you know, usually, though, I mean, he did do the hug motion, you know, we kind of, like, step forward and put your arms out.
but you're either going to shoot lightning from your fingertips or you're offering to hug me.
Yeah.
So, you know. And yeah, don't do like a run grab hug from behind. That's just bad and could lead to injury.
That reminds me of a tweet I retweeted the other day. Mm-hmm. It was like, fandoms in 2007, Glumshoe, oh my god, you love the same ships I do, yay! Fandom in 2017, for every 10 minutes my ship is in canon, a hostage dies. But yeah, it's just one of those, do your research, talk to people beforehand if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I don't even know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, a lot of, like, with in my insular little furry world, it's like super, it's like a lot easier because, like, you know, back in the day, you know, you'd meet people online and you'd be chatting and you'd discover that you have the same kind of interests and stuff like that. And so if you ever met in person, you already kind of had a basis of, well, do we have interests that we share? Do we have sexual interests that we share? You know, are we going to talk? Are we planning to do it? You know, you have some of that pre-planning, I find, seems to work very well. But yeah, just, you know, offers to go back to your room don't necessarily assume that it's going to lead to sex, but that is a common flirting technique. So, like, sort of be aware that it might happen.
You want to come back to my room and talk about some hot stuff, like you get there. So let me show you my really cool 357 slide thing about peppers.
Yeah. Which you might, you know, expect at like a gardening convention or something, right? I grow all my own peppers. They're so thick and red. And like you're so not giving that thing. And then it goes from there.
And then you're like, wait a minute, this isn't a furry con.
It's a gardening furry con.
Oh, okay.
How else do predators live in a world with prey animals around?
We don't think about it. That's like,
Well, Zootopia, the question was asked, they eat fish.
And bugs.
And bugs?
Yeah.
Oh, bug okay. Protein.
So, there was another one of those things, like, anthro problems, mm-hmm. where Rick Griffin has gone to drawing. He'll draw nips and vaginas now on his nudes. Wow.
And udders on anthro cows that also have breasts on their chests.
Yes, and he did this with an anthro horse, an anthro cow, and an anthro goat. And they have their, like, feral udder counterparts and big tits on anthro tits. And it's just like, man... Pants for these anthros must be really... I mean, obviously...
That's why he doesn't draw
pants. Yeah, anthros in his world don't draw pants. Like, there's this one with the... Like, I think it's A&H Club. It's the kangaroo gal and her friend, and they're looking at clothes, and, like, all these slinky dresses that, like... They don't... They just, like... They're just tops. And just, like, they... She's like, oh, is this showing off too much cleavage? I'm like, you're not wearing pants!
It's a really cute idea, though.
Yeah, like, I love his stuff, but I'm glad that he's, he's not doing, like, hardcore shit, but mm-hmm. he's doing nudes that have nips and vag and dick, and like, yay, you finally moved past your roadblock there. Mm-hmm. He still does his cutesy all-ages comics, but this other one...
It's like, just a matter of turning on the genital layer.
Yeah, like, we're gonna add some tufts here, then we're gonna click that off and add, like, two lines there, and now it's adult. And then, like, boob, like, nip, draws the nipple layer, draws the fuzz over the nipple layer, version 1, version 2, or in the case of the farmhand pick, it was, like, shirt layer on, shirt layer off.
That's right. The farmhand one's really cute, because the little, I guess, border collie guy is cute as hell.
He's just like, they're so demanding. I have to go milk these sexy anthros who want me to fondle their teats. I don't know, man. It seems like a real problem that, I mean, if he doesn't want to handle, I'm sure I could help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there would be willing parties.
You don't have enough hands for all of these nipples.
There's like...
Oh, you know what would be perfect for that would be like the spider hybrid characters.
Oh, God. Because
they could be like, they could milking all four teats on the udders and then have their hand paws be fondling the breasts. And
God.
I'm just saying there's milk everywhere.
I showed this picture to Panther. It was a tarantula. It was a tarantula tar. Uh-huh. But like the upper body was tar, but instead of a torso, it had also eight further legs. So each of like its like humanoid upper torso arms were just four spider limbs. So it was this hideous 16-legged monstrosity.
Oh my god!
And it's like it's a tarantula.
Oh my god! I mean, that's a great challenge for an artist to draw. You know, they want to take that on.
So. Needs to say, Rick Griffin draws good tits.
Maybe furries will get around the wing surcharge by just creating characters with more and more legs.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you can't charge me $25 because it doesn't have wings. It has 16 limbs.
And I mean, really, when you think about it, with those characters that Rick drew, they've got, like, 14 nipples they have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
You need more than two hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need volunteers.
Yep.
I volunteer as tribute. All right, so next email. Hey, hello again, Notcasters. JD writing in yet again, this time with Anthrocon 17 Conaport. It's my first trip to the furry mecca, and it was quite an experience. Previously to my only other experience with a furry con had been defending. Furthermore, an AC was, of course, a very different animal. Main difference, of course, was size. The largest furry con in the world, AC is held in Pittsburgh Convention Center rather than just one hotel. But the difference wasn't too much of a shock. I'd been to Otakon, so I had some experience with larger conventions. First, I'll get the minor step from Motion that brought me to Anthrocon out of the way. While I planned to go eventually, specifically made this decision to go this year because my short story, A Night Out, was appearing in For Planets Fang 8. This is my first work to come out from a publisher, and I really wanted to see my work in the wild. So buy books from Fuzz, kids. They're full of great stories by great writers other than me.
Yay!
The self-promotion mostly out of the way, though my status
as that.
The new guy...
Tweet a picture of it, and it was really quite cool to see somebody like so happy.
I'm in a book.
He took a photo of the first page of his story with his name on it.
Nice.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no, it's fine.
I thought it was cool.
It was an important kind of experience onto the con itself. I packed my mate and boyfriend onto the car, and we drove for 4 hours from Baltimore to Pittsburgh on Thursday, arriving in the middle of the afternoon. We arrived at the Marriott City Center and meet up with our roommate, fellow writer TJ Mind, who should also have a con report, and best and greatest Moogle writer Mog Moogle, who would be my party throughout the rest of AC. We tossed our bags on a room and then made the half-mile trek to the convention center area. Food was the first order of business. Maul accepted his role as a guide, and most of us were AC rookies and let us do Fernando's for dinner. I'd heard that Pittsburgh went all out to make the Anthrocon attendees feel welcome, and while they hadn't doubted it, this was my first glimpse at just how much they did. Almost every restaurant was decorated with paw prints and welcome furry signs. Anthrocon flags flew in front of the federal courthouse in almost every hotel. The hotels even had AC-themed room keys, which they let us to keep after checkout. It was all very impressive. With dinner finished, Mog guided us to the convention center where he picked up our badges. Our group then separated for the evening, with Mog and I wandering through the convention center to get a feel for the layout and to watch the dealer's den being set up from the floor above. After locating the zoo, we called it a night and headed back to our hotels. Friday set the tone of the convention for me. It became as many members of the Furry Riding Guild hanging out as much as possible. The first instance of this was a morning riding meet in the lobby of the West End, the closest hotel to the convention center. That lasted until the dealer's den opened and our group broke up. TJ and I went to a panel we wanted to see, writing mystery and noir. After learning some things, we headed to lunch, where the rest of the guild group slowly joined us one at a time. I like how there's the guild, and it's capital G, guild.
Yep.
The Furry Writers Guild.
Yeah, FWG, or FWIG, as I pronounce it.
And if you...
It's been determined that that's Welsh.
FWIG. All right, so... after that, it was time for our first... Oh, wait. I skipped down a line, actually... It was rather comical. One person brought the copy of Fang they'd brought at the den and asked me to sign it. After that, it was our time for our own trip to Dealer's Den. The den felt huge to me. It was, even more so than the one at Otakon, possibly due to the fact that Otakon, the booths were generally taller than tables at AC. The main stops were at the Soulful Wolf table and For Planet table for books, and Mary Mouse to pick up a custom certified badge I had ordered, certified author, to celebrate my publication. Then we wandered back to the hotel to drop off our purchases before the writing panel... skipped a line there, too. Wander back to the hotel, drop off our purchases before returning to check out the advanced writing panel out of curiosity. After the panel, we went to dinner at a nearby Thai restaurant. During dinner, we indulged an author who didn't make it to the con by taking photos of this year's issue of Heat, an erotic magazine by Soulwolf. This involves some creative illustration censoring using badges, coins, and a BLFC casino chip. The night wound down after that, ending with playing One Night Werewolf in the hotel room until I realized that some of us were too intoxicated to lie about being the werewolf. Saturday was more of the same, hanging with writers, dealer den writing panels, first quick trip to the dealer's den as members of our group got commissions, and I picked up my sponsored t-shirt as well as another shirt from Soulwolf, and it was on to historical fiction writing. After the panel, it was back to Leo's Den for more browsing and for Mog to pick up his contributor's copy of Heat. We gathered a group together and decided to skip the first food parade and get some lunch. Before leaving the den, Mog and I stopped to introduce ourselves to musician Matthew Evil, who remembered all too well the horrors we had inflicted on him in his Adventures in Smut panels.
Oh, good. You mentioned that. I was going to mention that, actually, because Mog's story is the best and greatest story, or Teabags for short.
Nice.
And yeah, Evil's read that I think he read it at Fiesta's Adventures in Smut panel.
Nice. Then we headed to lunch at a local burger place. Then it was back to the con for another writing panel. This one, Slice of Life as a Genre. Mog was one of the hosts and did a great job. So, as you were saying, Fuzz, that there was lots of writing panels this year? Well, it sounds like this guy went to all of them.
Yeah.
Or most of them.
Well, like this email and the next one is by his friend TJ Mind. And yeah, they're both about
nice.
The writing.
After a quick break for tea and writing, it was time for the Submit and Publish panel hosted by Fugue, editor Sofwolf, and Tyrion. After an informative, entertaining hour, we headed out to dinner with Fugue and Tyrion in tow. In a local pizza place, TJ and I got a private 2.5-hour continuation of the Submit and Publish panel. Many stories were told, some of which we were sworn to secrecy on, including Tyrion's version of how he and Fuzz came to own for Planet. After our little party finally broke up, TJ and I headed back to the con to try to cheer Mog. Uh-oh, my battery is running low. TJ and I headed back to the con to try and cheer Mog and others on as they gave readings and terrible fiction panel. Sadly, it was well after midnight, and I was beginning to turn into a pumpkin, so we headed back to the hotel. Sunday started with a writing fantasy panel, then we had lunch at the taco place that replaced Tonic. Then we wandered back to the con and crashed the writing technology panel to bring the host candy. This resulted in us getting thrown out by fellow writer Sparf for mentioning Mog's The Best and Greatest Story After our eviction, we headed down to Dealer's Den, where I picked up some prints from Rukus and a few other things before it closed. Then it was on to the final panel of the con, Writing Horror. That was the end of the con proper. Final announced attendance was 7,544 people. With the con ended, we had one more Free Writers Guild dinner before heading to a special recording of the Independent Claws podcast. This one will be titled Excrement Writers Articulate. And
okay, so that is because on the Fangs and Fonts version is called Shit Writers Say. So that's the Independent Claws version.
Yeah, and it was a room full of writers drinking an Irish whiskey called Writers, Tears, and Sharing Stories. We also signed each other's books, including me signing some copies of Fang 8. Someone wanting you to deface a book for them is an odd feeling, even with something you wrote is already in it. And so ended my first Anthrocon. I had a great time and was already planning to come again by the time the con ended. I would definitely recommend having a group to hang out and meet. I'm sure the con would have been a lot less fun if I didn't have a pack of writers to hang out with. In short, I had a good time and can't wait to go again. With that, I'll bring this novel to a close. GD, your Fox Dragon author fan.
Yay.
That is awesome. Okay, Fuzz, and we have one last email. So feel free to read that one.
Okay.
This, too, is an article.
My first Anthrocon. Hey, everyone. TJ here with a con report. My first Anthrocon. What I did on my summer vacation. Thursday morning, I packed up clothes and laptop and made my way to Pittsburgh. The 4-hour drive went surprisingly well, except for the accident that I did not see, that stopped traffic for about 45 minutes. And driving in Pittsburgh was better than expected for driving in a city. Though I will say that walking around was mildly terrifying, as drivers there don't care if there are pedestrians in the crosswalks. After parking my car at my hotel, the Marriott, about a half mile from the event, I decided to head towards the con while waiting for the people who had the hotel room under their name to show up. My friendly neighborhood Moogle/SafePoint suggested we wait until later that evening as the lines were long. So I ended up socializing instead. Within a few hours, I was able to run into a number of people from the Furry Writers Guild. I have to say that with gravity now. I was looking to meet for the first time. I chatted with friends and just generally hung out with writers until my roommate for the con, JD, and his partner showed up. I made my way back to the hotel, got my key, dropped off my things, and promptly met the faggin face to face. Do you know what that is? I don't know what that is.
What?
Faggin. F-A-G-G-O-N.
It's fag dragon, gay dragon.
Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming, too.
I was wondering if there was another... It seems like a fucking, like, Middle Ages term or something.
Ye old faggin.
Oi, wench, bring me that faggin of ale. From there, a small group of us made our way to the con proper to get badges. And once they were in paw, or attached to shirts and hips, I was invited to a party that evening. Yay, socializing. Friday, as with most cons, AnthroCon properly started. After getting up early and catching a shower, JD and I went down to the Westin with the intentions of riding, and that worked so well, slash sarcasm. Our group, as we are wont to do, turned into socializing. JD and I met up with Significant Otter, Mog Moogle, and Skunk Bomb, and we mostly talked. Not long after, Night Eyes and Slip Wolf joined us as well. And with new friends, books were branded to be autographed, and the first half of a coffee trade was completed. Time carried on as it will, with me attempting to write during the conversations, and people came and left from the group. Just before noon, JD and I made our way over to our first panel, Mystery and Noir, which, that sounds like a really neat panel. I would like to have seen that. It was really interesting hearing about the different types of mystery genres there were. And it was more interesting to get some recommended reading for noir stories, because if you want to write something new, one should read what has done well before. Yes, absolutely. But JD and I snuck out a bit early for lunch. We joined other furry writers for lunch at a burger place a few blocks from the con. And while JD and I were there, like that morning, different writers trickled in and out of the bar area we were eating at. It was fun. Once the checks were paid, we finally checked out the den, and money was spent. I was able to grab two of Ryan's books, God of Clay and Forest Gods from Sofa Wolf, and Watts Martin's Kismet and Inhuman Acts from For Planet that I missed at BLFC. I also grabbed Kyle Gold's Love Match and Tim Sussman's latest book, The Tower and the Fox. I'm probably the most excited for that, as he's been working on this for quite a while. So yay, all the books. After shopping, we hit our second panel, Writing Foundations Advanced. It was fun hearing things about writing that weren't terribly new, but hearing them from Fugue, MCA Hogarth, and White Yodi was interesting. Feasting! Exclamation point, which that's a running joke. And everyone was enjoying ourselves so much, Fugue made an executive decision. Even though the panel was scheduled to end at 7:30, with nothing following right away, they kept going. It was fun. That's nice when that happens. However, eventually, our stomachs pulled us away from the panel. We made our way out with Otter and another new friend and went to a Thai place for food. And food was had, and it was good. And images from Heat were shared with comical censoring. As the evening wound down, we made our way back to a room for simple games and drinking, which is always a grand time. The rest of the con happened in a similar fashion. We get up, find writers to eat food with, and bounce around the con until more food happened. Though my favorite panel was the end of Sunday, Submit and Publish. It was one of the few panels I went to where I asked questions for myself and not the audience. Here we heard from both Fugue, repping Sofa Wolf, Tyrion, repping For Planet, and Slip Wolf, repping the poor SOB Fugue talked into going up there as well. And the three of them talked about the do's and don'ts of submitting to publication, sometimes with humorous stories. And once the panel ended, the group of writers I was with talked them all into joining us for dinner. After finally settling in on a place to eat, the panel continued. Many more stories were told, including of the before time, which was interesting hearing from Tyrion's point of view, and not through the lens, and not through the lens of the podcast. With a small group of us there, we kept things going about 2 hours after the panel was properly over, and it was grand. And while a wonderful con was had, like all things, our time together came to an end. I ended up ditching work on Monday to get some better sleep, but I still had to drive home. While it was my first AC, I highly doubt it will be my last, and I look forward to next year. I hope my ramblings didn't go on too long. Maybe a rule should be instilled that writers aren't allowed con reports. No. I want to hear from the writers, so I want to hear how well the writing tracks are doing. We'll see after this week. In any case, I do hope you found it a little interesting. Take care, TJ Mind. Which, cool. Oh, I think it's Mind, isn't it? Because he's written in before, but with the phonetic spelling.
Ah.
I think I'm right about that. But, you know, since it's been brought up like two or three times already, I just want to express thank you to everybody that shopped at Fur Planet this past weekend, because we really appreciate all the support. And I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like Fur Planet has a relatively small Twitter following, like when you compare it to like, you know, big companies and stuff like that. Like it has like half the number of Twitter followers that I do. But I have to say, our followers are really, like, supportive. Like, when we tweet out about a new book coming out or some big news or something like that, the likes, the retweets, the replies, I mean, it's a lot. You know, so
that's one of the big strengths, I think, in the furry fandom, is the particular communities, whatever aspect of the fandom you're into. But for me, for the writers, it's like, it's a really supportive, tight-knit community, and everybody kind of supports each other. You know, all the publishers are friends, all the writers will retweet each other's book announcements and stuff like that. It's really good, and it's something that I really value in our community. So thank you again for all that you guys do and supporting my little publishing endeavor.
Yep. Also, I have important breaking news.
Okay.
This happened 16 minutes ago. The artist Brayburn, he who did fairly well for himself by drawing gay cartoon horses fucking. Oh,
did he get CND'd?
No. Oh. He did his Daki Pawkura, which is a macro wolf and a giant paw. He has now done his Dragon Daki Mawkura, which is a red dragon or a giant fangy mouth and tongue on the other side. So he has the macro and vor Daki Mawkura is covered. He's
covering all the bases.
He's covering all his fucking bases and doing really goddamn good for himself. Like, I'm just like, yo, I have seen you since your early days in the fandom, young man, and you're doing fine. You're doing good. High five.
I've started to see a lot of really neat alterations on the idea of the Daki Mawkura. Like, one of the first ones I saw that I thought was really cool was Acello's character, where it's his character on one side
and just the tail,
and just the tail on the other side. Nice. Yeah. And another one was that other character. I think the artist's name is Artkour, ARTKOUR. But they have this like little bird character who's tiny
little bird,
doesn't have any visible genitalia, but made a Daki design, and I'm not sure if they actually got it printed up or not, where she's like tiny in the middle of it. You know, you flip it over and it's her from the back, but like nothing's showing.
It's got a little X for the butt.
Yeah, like tail feathers and everything.
It's like the best Daki Mawkura ever. It's this tiny little sparrow. They had them at FWA. I saw them in person.
Oh god, so they actually did have it printed up. That's
it's like hilarious. The best Daki Mawkura ever.
So, what's the technical name for the booby and butt mouse pads?
Just, they're termed opi mouse pads, but literally translates to boob mouse pad.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I've started opi to see is
tits.
Okay. I started to see some interesting takes on those too. I saw one where it was, a male furry kind of seen from like a bottom up angle in the mouse pad part where his balls.
Nice.
And Acela did one where it's these two Twinkie characters pressed together. So each part of the pad is like the side
butt.
It's like it's tasteful side butt, I guess, for both of them.
And then of course you get the really adorable ones where it's like, I've seen them where it's both Applejack and Isabel, the two separate ones, but the wrist rests are just two apples.
The what rest? Oh, the wrist rest. All right,
areas are.
Oh yeah, she's like holding up two apples. That's kind of what it looks like.
Applejack's just like kind of has her hooves out, pointing to apples, or Isabel's holding the two apples, and it's just like these completely innocent booby mouse pads.
Yeah,
like I straight up got one of Kadath's puzzle mouse pads, topless version, and it's quite nice.
Yep.
Dick giraffe tits. Thumbs up.
Oh, totally. Yeah. He's going to make a nightshade one, too.
Nice.
And I will be very tempted to pick that up. Although I've already got Fluttershy's butt in the production room and Foxboy butt in my office computer. So I'm going to have to do some like butt rearranging if I get another one.
So you just need to have three. So you have a double wrist rests, which doesn't help because you don't
type with the other one.
Yeah, it's like wrist rest in the middle, and you got to like stretch your arm. So
the next frontier will be those wrist rests that you can get for your keyboard to go the length of the keyboard. It'll just be a dick, like a horse cock, the length of the keyboard.
Or you could, for the cutesy safer work version, like a ferret.
Yeah,
a cute ferret or cat. A cello with just like Othello on one side and then tail.
Because he'd be tiny, but the tail would go all the way across.
We're giving these ideas out for free, guys. I don't know why.
I know. We should be trademarking this shit or something. I don't even know.
No.
Y'all make this shit happen. There's got to be some other gel wrist rest maker in China that can pump these out. You know? So I don't think I have anything else to talk about. I don't have any travel plans or anything like that coming up. My sister sent me Sonogram today, so I've seen my niece's newly forming face.
Yeah.
Apparently she has a full head of hair.
Cool.
And I just, like, my sister's birthday is this month, and I'd asked her, you know, do you want a birthday present for you, or do you want more baby stuff off of your registry? And she's like, baby stuff, because, like, there's so much to buy, you know? So I straight up loaded her up with some stuff. I also got her some other stuff that wasn't on the registry. So, like I mentioned Ursula Vernon earlier, one of the children's book series she does is Harriet the Hamster Princess. It's like up to like 3 or 4 books now. But of course, they're covered with glitter and everything, so they're going to get glitter fucking everywhere. But like, it's a really cute kids book series. So, my niece won't be ready to read those for a number of years, but she'll have them. And I also ordered some of the kids' books that I grew up with in Britain. So I got her like Postman Pat, Paddington Bear, Mr. Men.
Nice.
Like, it's some of the classic stuff. You know what I was surprised to find? Fisher Price still makes the little record player.
Wow.
And the rotary phone. Like, you could buy them brand new. They're still in production.
Actually, yeah, I've seen those at Target.
Yeah.
Target down the street here has had, like, just, like, the retro toys and the retro board games.
Oh.
Like, even the shitty ones, like Payday, which is, like, talking, it's, like, it's an early game about budgeting, but except rent is $50 and shit like that. It's the, wow, remember when rent was $50? Well, actually, it's like, actually, things are way more expensive now.
I guess if you get the classic toys like that for a newborn, you know, they'll always have that sense of, oh, remember back when we had that rotary phone? It'll be like the little toy one. But,
yeah.
You know, they'll at least know what you're talking about when you mention having a record player.
Yeah.
They'll be like, Mom, do you mean that little plastic record that I had?
Yeah, well, of course, now with the resurgence in vinyl,
you know, right? Yeah.
You can have your baby record player with next to your actual adult modern record player.
Yep.
I
was just really surprised that they still made the record player, and I just Googled it on a whim. Oh, while I was buying baby stuff anyway, and I was like, I wonder if they still make that record player. That'd be so weird if they do. I was like, they do, and it's only like $25.
Yeah, I mean. If Fisher Price still makes the vast majority of their old school, like the stacking rings and the...
I bought those.
Yeah.
The big, thick ring. And I also bought the... Because, you know, brain development's super important. So I bought the one that's like the little white box with the shapes in the top that you have to push the shape pieces in.
Yeah. So your kid's going to have a good start.
Which, you know, to bring it back to a more adult topic, that toy was also featured in one of the Resident Evil films when they were trying to tame one of the zombies.
Yep.
And then he couldn't get the block in.
And he got
then
mad.
He went ape shit, started eating the scientists. So there we go.
We wrapped it up.
Back up to grown up.
We were doing wholesome things talking about your future niece.
And, yes.
Like, also, zombies. So, all right. It's 10:30. And we're at an hour and a half because we were like, oh, we'll do a short episode.
Right.
And here we are yet again.
The title of the episode is really not applicable.
Hey, you know, speedruns sometimes take 90 minutes depending on the game.
There we go.
So there we go. All right. So you can always find us on Twitter at Notcast. You can find us on Tumblr at notcast.tumblr.com. You can email us notcast@foxservers.com. You can send us messages on our Tumblr Anon. You can also If you want to help support the show, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch at Saverin. You can find me on YouTube, just going to justafox.com. I have not used my Twitch or my YouTube in a bit. I'm trying to fix that because I've been playing Subnautica and Battlegrounds and Warframe and things that are not WoW. So I'm going to try to kickstart that. And where can they find you, Fuzz?
I'm on Twitter at FuzzWolf, and you know my publishing company is on Twitter at FurPlanet, FurPlanet.com. And if you want to find, I've got a list of all my social media stuff and companies at FuzzWolf.com. Just forwards to a page on my Tumblr that I've listed out all my stuff. So that if you need to reach me, that's an easy way to find me.
Nice. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. If you have any further AC Con reports you want to talk about, SGDQ stuff, video games we've been playing, summer scheme sales, or whatever else, write in, and we'll see you next week. On that note, good night.
And big balls.